This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. National pairs this weekend, Barry, and there's quite a few entries.
73 pairs, Mariana.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like these online events are pretty popular. People from all over the country, when they call it a national pairs, they're coming from everywhere.
And Auckland has the Bell Taylor this weekend, face-to-face as well. You did have a choice if you want to go and sit at a table.
Whangarei, Territorial Intermediate, that's about it. So you didn't really have a lot of choice. I guess that's why maybe there's so many pairs playing it, because they've got no choice. That sounds bad. National pairs is where it's at.
There was an event last year that was pretty successful for the junior restricted at Morrinsville. It regrettably changed a date and limited entries meant that that tournament has now been cancelled, which is a bit of a shame because it's good for all the novices to jump into and the juniors to play. And the big event coming up, of course, is the Gold Coast Congress. Everyone looking to move out next week.
Probably going to be back to their usual numbers, I suspect. I don't know, a couple of thousand, 2,000 or 3,000 players all playing at the convention centre at Broadbeach. It's a great venue.
Because originally they had a smaller number, didn't they? And then they just increased it and increased it. So is it actually closed full stop now or what?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. Actually, I think you're right. I think they might have reduced the size of it and limited the entry. So maybe it might not be back to their usual numbers of 2,000 or 3,000. We'll be reporting live from the Gold Coast, won't we, Mariana?
Oh, I know the whole team's going to be there.
Yeah, we'll be able to tell you just how many are there. Listen in for that. I think they're expecting close to 200 Kiwis over there.
Well, now I'm catching up with my friend William Van Bakel. He's from Cairns. They're popping over, so be great to catch up with William and the crew that's coming from his bridge club. By the way, he's actually the convener of the Barrier Reef Congress this year that's being held at his bridge club. We're actually staying with William. Watch out, Cairns people. You're going too, aren't you, Barry?
The Bridge Zone's being broadcast from Australia, so, you know, hopefully a few of those Aussies might catch up with us and we can talk about them on the show as well.
I wonder if John from Tasmania is coming across. We should have a look and then we can actually have a chat with him and catch up. That'll be great.
This weekend just gone, the trials were held for the Open and Mixed and they've announced the teams to go to the World Championships in Marrakesh. So the winning team in the Open was Michael Cornell, Ashley Bark, Michael Wibley and Matthew Brown. And the selectors have chosen Malcolm Mayer and Michael Weir as their third pair, with Martin Reed and Peter Newell as the reserve pair in the World Championships in August. In the mixed, congratulations to Wayne Burrows, Claire Mau, Mindy Wu, and Marius Tumilowitz, who won the mixed event. The selectors have chosen Liz and Blair Fisher as the third pair, with Joe and Sam Simpson as the reserve pair.
Congratulations to those people.
Selectors have still got a bit of work to do about women's team for Marrakesh and maybe a seniors team for Marrakesh. And they'll be selecting teams for the APBF in Hong Kong. That's the Asia Pacific Bridge Federation. They're looking at putting mixed, open, perhaps seniors and women as well to go to.
Barry, what's the hold up with that? You got any goss on that? Why can't all the teams be announced at the same time?
They are just being selected. They're expecting to do that pretty soon. I expect this week.
Right. Director, please.
Judge Judy is in session. It's the bailiff today.
He is Patrick.
Good morning, bailiff. Nice to see you again.
Good morning, Mariana.
I think it's good that we've got Patrick on this week because he's bound to be much more compassionate towards some of our newer players than Judge Julie. We know how tough she can be.
Is she the hanging judge, is she?
Oh, that's a good one.
Quite possibly. Some of our newer players, they get a lead out of 10 and the director gets called to the table because Judge Julie always tells everybody, get the director when anything like that happens. You get the director there and they give you all of these options about how you can accept the lead or you can make the other hand lead one or you can play it yourself or you can let partner play. There's all these things. I mean, how many options are there and what's the best way to decide which option you should take, Patrick?
You judge based on your hand and usually the whether or not you want the lead into that suit. For instance, as you said, one of the things you can do is you can make the other hand lead one. That's what happens when you say, oh no, I want you to pick that card back up off the table and I want to demand that the other one lead that suit. or I want to forbid the other one made that suit. So your demand, if you're looking at ace queen yourself, you'd want the lead to come into your ace queen, wouldn't you? If you're looking at king jack, you'd want the lead to come into your king jack. Then you might say, well, pick that card up and lead that suit. Or alternatively, let's say you had three small cards in that suit and you thought that they were off to a good lead, you might make them pick it up and forbid the lead of that suit. If you allow them to pick that card up so it's no longer a penalty card, then you can demand or forbid the lead of that suit from the other side. Now, another thing you can do is, if you're not sure what you want the other side to lead, that card on the table as a penalty card might be useful. You can say, leave it there as a penalty card, and the other hand, lead what they like. That's a difficult one to quantify as to when that's the right thing to do. And then finally, the last option there is that you can simply accept the lead. And you do that if you think they've led something that's good for your side. And if you accept the lead, you can either play yourself like you normally would have, or you can put your hand down as dummy. One of the reasons why you'd accept the lead is harder for the defense when they can see less of your points. So if you're about to play the hand when you had 6 points and your partner's got about a strong no trump, it was 15 to 17, it's going to be harder for them to defend if they can't see your partner's 15 to 17 points. And so then you might accept it and put your hand on the table, right? Always much easier for the defense if they can see most of your side's points. Now, the other thing I'd also recommend is that you get your head around this one, because people are going to lead out of turn against you. I reckon if you play as much as Barry does, I bet people lead out of turn against him about 100 times a year. Would that be fair, Barry? It's a common occurrence, isn't it?
Pretty common. I don't know, with about 100, but yes.
Couple of times a week, doesn't it, right?
Oh, yep. Right.
So because that opening lead out of turn happens so frequently, it's worth getting your head around so that you know what the options are even before the director tells you. I understand that it's confusing to new players, but A, get your head around it, and B, I can tell you from the director's point of view, I have some rulings where it's sort of like you do this or you do that. And I have some rulings which you've got several options. And if you have those rulings with several options, it's not uncommon for them to say, oh, it's all too confusing. But on the other hand, as a director, I can tell you, when I say you can either accept it or you don't or not, so I give you a ruling which has got two options, half the time they ask me if they can do something else. From my point of view, if there's two options, it's obviously too simple for them. And if there's three options, it's too confusing. So I don't know where the bit in the middle is. But that particular one, the opening lead out of turn, it will happen to you. So have a look at it and get your head around and know what that one is for yourself.
What about that old saying that's often said, that the person who doesn't know whose lead it is probably isn't going to make a good one? Do you think there's any truth in that?
Well, actually, yes, there was an American director called Barry Goldwater. He stated something which has been known as Goldwater's Law, although I haven't heard anyone mention that name for a while. And Goldwater's Law is always accept the lead, because if they're not clever enough to know whose lead it is, they're not clever enough to know what to lead either.
Patrick, that's a good one.
Anyway, so is there any truth in it, Patrick? Do you think that's a...
Well, I think it's probably not, because most of the time when they do lead out of turn, it's because they're keen to lead because they've got a good lead. If they bang down a king because they've got king, queen, jack, well, that's probably a good lead for their side most of the time, isn't it? When you've got an honor sequence, you're happy. I mean, I had a hand today where there'd been spades and no trumps, and I was looking at jack 10 to 4 spades, king third in one other suit, queen third in one other suit, and queen third in another suit. Oh, good luck on the lead there. Just nothing to guide me. And, of course, I've got it wrong. If you can look at king, queen, jack, X, you're delighted to bang it down on the table. And, of course, when you've got a nice simple lead is the time that you're more likely to be in such a rush to lead that you lead out of turn. So I don't know that there's anything to it, but it's a nice sounding law.
Yeah. I don't know whether it was called Carter's Law or not, Mariana. One thing Patrick always used to say was, if you're on lead and you've got ace king of a suit, he used to say that God gave you the ace king of a suit so you wouldn't have a lead problem.
Remember Dave Matthews? Dave Matthews said that for leading against the slam, is God gave you an ace for a reason. Didn't know that was my saying. I might have quoted somebody else. I'd hate for anybody to accuse me of plagiarism, so I'm not going to claim it as cars.
No. You'll have to tweak it slightly.
Hey, that would be the least of his sins, Mariana, I can tell you. But anyway.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, I've got a quick one for you. As dummy, partner says play a card from dummy, so you play a card from dummy, and then partner actually wins it and then calls for another card from dummy, and you actually just play it. Can that be corrected?
Right, so you mean it was a lead out of turn?
A lead, yeah, from the increase.
It was a lead out of turn. If nobody notices, of course, it's going to be accepted. But if the opponents notice, then they'll call the director and say that there's been a lead from the wrong hand. Yeah. And then the director will give them the option of accepting it if they want to, or of not accepting it, so the lead comes to the correct hand if one of them wants to do that.
But yourself as dummy, like, you just do it, you know, because they said, I'll play that one.
If the clear is called for the card, then it's played. If you see them open their mouth and you can see they're going to do that, you're allowed to try and prevent them. But once they've called for the card, that's it. And that's an important thing of dummies' rights, is you can try to prevent them from doing something wrong, such as leading from the wrong hand. So you're not there to sort of participate in the play. So I had one, I was waiting for a slow table, and I noticed there's someone doing something that I thought wasn't good, is that they'd obviously got in the habit of whenever their partner was in dummy, they were tapping the table to say you're in dummy. Well, that's participating in the play. You can't be participating in the play by being there to tell your partner that they're in dummy before anything's even happened, particularly on a regular basis. If they appear to be going to lead from the wrong hand, then you can stop them. But you can't be tapping the table just to say every time they're in dummy to help partner with the play. I mean, it's like the one we had the other week where you were saying about someone putting down about thinking a trick, or think a trick one on this one, partner. Dummy's not allowed to help in the play. They're allowed to prevent their partner from when they're about to commit an infraction, but they're not allowed to be there assisting in the play. It seems to me that if you're gently tapping the table every time they're in dummy, you are taking part in the play.
so many people do that, though.
Well,
that
then,
would happen
then
almost
someone, then
every
someone,
ball.
Look, it's one of those things where no one's going to get upset. So you need to bring it to their attention that I'm not upset about this hand, nothing, no problem. But I think you'll find that you're not allowed to do that. And if you want to check that with the director, maybe the director will help you out. But dummy's right is to prevent their partner from making a mistake, not to participate in the play. Think about it. You are participating in the play if you are all the time sort of doing something that tells partner whether they're in their hand or their dummy, then you've become part of the play, haven't you?
Wow.
Pretty fine line, though, isn't it? I mean, if you happen to notice partner going to play from their hand, you say, you're in dummy, partner, or the other way around.
That's fine. So if that happens once on a hand or something, that's fine. They were well behind. That was why I was there. And, you know, three or four times they won a trick in dummy, and every time dummy was there tapping the table to tell partner they'd won the last trick in dummy, so they were, you know. So that's different, isn't it? Trying to stop partner from leading from the wrong hand when they go to do it. Maybe it's a small signal by tapping the table, but if they were waving a flag every time you're in dummy, they'd be participating in the play, wouldn't they?
If we could get Judge Julie a set of flags for Christmas for when she's playing with Patrick, you know, so she could wave the appropriate flag depending on which era she thought he might be making.
Well, do I get to choose some flags that he can send to me? There's one called a Jolly Roger, perhaps you might like to send me. I could use that. It's got a skull and crossbones on it.
Thank you, Patrick. I'm sure that's
awesome.
Been helpful.
Have a great day.
Bye.
One of the things that Hamilton Club, and yet I know we're just talking about this one for a minute, listeners, but bear with us. We were talking about how to increase numbers on a particular playing session. So one of our club members did a reach out and managed to increase the numbers to a fairly decent size for a night session, which could have impacted on another night session. So my question to you, Barry, is how many times would you think would be a reasonable expectation to play? We've got two daytime sessions that are available for people to play, and then some of their lifestyle changes happen and they play during the day, which impacts on the night. How do you get that right mix of playing at night and playing at day and supporting all these sessions? And we come back to numbers. Have we got too many sessions?
Hey, look, I'm sure clubs all around the country have got this problem where they're having one or two or three or maybe all of their sessions impacted by declining numbers. Okay. The example you're giving is where one session was almost dead in the water, if you like, but we had a member ring around everybody and managed to get six to seven tables together. Not too bad. But then it's possibly impacted on one of the other sessions where those players didn't presumably only wanted to play the once and not play on another night. It's quite a tough one, really.
Yeah, we do forget about the daytime sessions sometimes.
Yeah, some people only want to play daytime sessions. As people get older, sometimes they don't want to play at night. They don't want to go out at night. So
don't want to travel, that's right.
That's tricky, and you can't blame them. I mean, I imagine a lot of clubs, from what I've heard, are finding while their daytime sessions are going okay, some of their nighttime sessions are really struggling for numbers. Interesting to hear from listeners how often they would play bridge in a week or how often they'd like to play bridge in a week and whether it would have an impact on them, whether it was a daytime session or a nighttime session.
Too forward to say, hey, you play once and then you play twice and then the third session could be like at a discounted table money thing because you are actually user pays type thing, getting a discount. But I don't know. It's not a money thing, is it? It's a time availability thing. It's slotting that session into your lifestyle.
Interesting thought that, whether you could give them it's like having a loyalty card, isn't it?
Yeah.
I say the third one you can get for half price or something or other if you've already played two sessions this week. I don't know whether that would work or not. I think you're right. I think it's more of a time thing than it is a money thing, but could be wrong. Maybe the discounted rate might be an attraction for some people.
Our table money is $5 a session, listeners. So I would be interested to see what you pay for table money at your club. Send us in. It'd be nice to have a look at a range. We won't advertise, of course, what the various ranges are. Last year we paid $4, and this year we've increased it, first time in a few years, table money to $5, which I still think is pretty reasonable. Get free tea and coffee.
Some clubs charge $8 or $9.
Some charge $3.
Just going to say that. Some of them might be cheaper than $3. I don't know.
Yeah. Just popping back to the online tournament, 2 days of bridge for $40. That's cheap.
That certainly was pretty reasonable, and that's why they've got 73 pairs entered, I guess.
Off the top of your head, do you know what it was face-to-face last year? If you rocked on up, it wouldn't be anywhere near $40. It'd probably be, what, something like $80?
Probably be double, I would imagine, yes.
Okay. But if you'd like to give us an idea of what your table money amount is at your club, could you send it in to us? Be a good subject to have a look at, and that would be
if you've forgotten it.
Can you give the email address? Can you remember it?
BridgeZoneShuffle@gmail.com.
5 stars to you.
Get your gumboots on. We're going down to the pond with Kermit.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
Hey, hey, we're at the pond with Kermit. G'day.
G'day. How are you?
Fair to middling.
Yeah, I'm a bit brain dead today, so I hope I'm able to fully form sentences.
Anne's played a lot more bridge than we did over the weekend, Mariana. So she's played...
Quick maths test, 96 plus 64.
About 160, isn't it?
Holy. What did I play yesterday? 56 yesterday.
And it was against very fine opponents. It was great bridge and I loved it.
It's good. And you performed well, particularly on the last day where you won the playoff match?
Yeah, that was kind of quite a comeback.
It certainly was.
It was quite a comeback. And the reason it was quite a comeback was because we were in such a crap position at the start of it. And so I thought a great topic today would be, well, you get knocked down, how do you get back up again? Because I can tell you, every single bridge player out there listening, and all of you that aren't, it's happened to all of us. You get knocked down and you feel like you really don't know how to play this game, or something happens. I got a migraine in the middle of one of the matches, which wasn't so good, and didn't play very well. So how do you just, like, you don't feel good anymore, so get back up again.
Have you got that music available, Mariana?
I have. Just follow me, people. I'll meet you at the bar.
Times.
how you get back up again. Is that what happened, Pam, in between matches?
No, it was not.
It has happened, and it certainly happened to us over the weekend. We got knocked down. We didn't have time to get back up again. There's always next week. And I guess even if you're going along to the club and you score 36 one week, there's always next week. You have to get back up again.
There's always another match. And a little bit of analysis about what went wrong doesn't hurt, if you can think of something that contributed.
It can be quite painful going through all the bad things that happen. Probably you'll learn more from that than a lot of good stuff that happens.
Just take it as a learning opportunity.
Well, can you give me a tip about when you are doing your post-mortem and you're looking at a board that potentially sticks out for you and you wanted to know how to improve, what are you looking for?
I think you can compare what was done at the other tables. It's quite interesting. That is one of the beauties at Real Bridge. If you can have an unemotional conversation with your partner about it, that is a huge asset and about a way forward.
It's some more music you can play, Mariana. That's that if word.
Isn't it amazing the emotions it brings out? I tell you, I ran the gamut of them over the weekend.
You were ticking them off, were you?
Yes. Especially after playing this week, I just love it even more. And I just really am looking forward to more opportunities to play against in these tough competitions. I mean, I've always said that for anyone, whatever your level is, try and challenge yourself by playing people that challenge you, because it does improve your game and it just made me more hungry.
There's a lot of players at the club or whatever, there are some that don't want to challenge them. They don't want those good players to be playing against them. You know, you hear that, we don't want them playing because they're too good, or we'd rather just play in our own grade. And so
it comes back to, you're completely right, Barry. It does depend what you gain from this game. And for some people, a lot of it is social. But then there's the types, and I'm one of the types. I like to get in there amongst it. So we all come to this game for different reasons, and the administrators of the game need to, club people and whatever, need to cater for all those reasons that people play bridge. It's just the lunatics that...
lunatics.
It's a pretty big call, though, isn't it, for the administrators or whatever of the game to cater for all of these weird people that play the game that have all these different things they want to get out of it. Wow. I mean, is it even possible to cater for all of that?
I say it mostly comes down to a social thing or a competitive thing, two ends of the spectrum, and everyone is somewhere in between, or both. Or it's a Venn diagram, right? So there's competitiveness and there's social, and I believe that exists for every single player, but how much they overlap and how big the circles are is different for every player. There you go. I knew I studied maths for a reason.
What I've found is the people that say, I just want to play it for social reasons, they're the first ones up there to look at the results to see where they came and what they got and who they beat and who beat them.
It just reinforces my Venn diagram, though, doesn't it? There doesn't exist the bridge player that doesn't have a crossover of those two circles. I just don't believe it. And I don't even believe the real nerds, or whatever you want to call them, or the top players or the competitive ones, their Venn diagram isn't solely that. It's social as well, because it's that kind of game.
Right.
What was that quote? Doesn't it go something like, "Is there the man with soul so dead he never to himself hath said, I shall arise and play in a bridge tournament?"
Say it again slowly, Barry.
Is there the man with soul so dead he never to himself hath said, I shall arise and play in a bridge tournament? I think it's got a different ending, the actual one, but
Oh, my goodness.
I just want to say something about the trials. I just want to thank my opponents. Every person I played with was a great opponent and very gracious, and it was played in really good spirit. And I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
One day, Roger Fitz, I might get to trial.
You may well do. Maybe next year.
Oh, hey, speaking of trials, everybody, are you thinking about your interprovincial trials? Let's put an ad out for these early. It's an online event. There are categories for intermediate, open, senior, and women. And these trials, and it's a great thing to be involved in. So if you fit into any of those categories, which I'm sure you do, how about giving it a go?
Yeah.
6th of May, I think the trials are being held.
Will you be in the country then?
No, I won't be, and neither will you.
But is it online?
Oh, no, they might not be online, Mariana. They might hold them face-to-face.
Oh, well then, next year.
Well, you two are gallivanting off, aren't you?
Yep.
We're all gallivanting off in a couple of weeks. Are we going to do the Bridge Zone from the Gold Coast Congress?
We are going to come to the listeners live and exclusive from the Gold Coast at Broadbeach.
What are they?
Yeah, but we're not going to do a shot in our Speedos, are we?
No, Barry's going to have his mankini on.
Oh, I was hoping to get a good night's sleep tonight, Mariana, but I think that's going to haunt me now and keep me awake.
Nightmares now. No, there'll be none of that.
Anyway, coming back to our topic, you get knocked down, you get back up again. So how? Actually, I'd quite like to hear what our listeners have as a technique. Oh, sometimes our pride gets very wounded, doesn't it, at this game?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it cuts very deep.
Yeah, but we all know we will because we love this game and we're all bonkers. So with that insult to everyone out there, I'm going to say goodbye.
Join us next week at the Lily Pad.
With Pam Livingston, Bridge Coach.
See you. Phenomena. I forgot to ask you about Gold Coast. Is there a theme for Gold Coast? They generally have some sort of theme. Do you know what it is?
So the theme for this year is going to be Mad Hatters, Mariana. I think you'd be well suited to that.
I don't need a hat for that. Hey, and I didn't realise, but it's the 61st Gold Coast Congress. That's a big number.
I just want to point out, Mariana, that the Gold Coast Congress has been going longer than I have.
How many years have you been going?
I didn't mean that. I mean in total. But yes,
no, I know, how many years have you been going? I wonder if we could find out.
I've lost track a bit, but it's certainly over 20, and it's probably over 25.
Really?
But we have had to miss the last couple of years due to COVID and stuff, of course. Had a couple of glitches along the way.
I'm going to ask Barry to have a look at the exact number. And if you can beat that number, we'll open up the Bridge Zone prize draw cupboard for you. Barry, it's between 20 and 25. Let us know if you can beat that number. Give us an email, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. That'll be a great competition.
Well, if they've been more than 20 times, let us know. There's hundreds of them that go there. Some of them don't go every year, go quite often.
I don't go. This will only be my second time that I've been.
Okay, well, I'm sure they'll roll out the welcome mat, Mariana.
What do you think?
Very friendly over there, Kim Alloway and the team.
Nice. We'll bring you back something. So if anyone's been over there more than 20 times, bring you back something, a little memento from the Gold Coast.
It's not going to be a bucket of sand, is it, off the beach?
Might be a card from a pack. How about that? We can sign it and bring it back. Catch you next week and happy bridging.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.